Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. As you know, the news cycle is never ending on trying to continually drive agendas and instead of actually really looking at the problem. Every time I look at the homeless problem, the mass shooting, the ills of our society and how we, how the progressives constantly depict what we need to do and how bad this really is. I'm here to tell you, they are not addressing the problems. The real problems come or stem from, because all they're talking about are the symptoms. They want to spend your money maintaining a problem and just applying ointment to the symptom without solving the problem. The real problem is the continuing debasement of our society, sexualizing our children, removing the morals and they've got these ethics, but they completely have removed the morals and even the terminology and the ideology of sin. Society has been working years and years and years in trying to remove the consequences of sin. You do not get away with debasing our society and doing those types of things, removing the consequences of sin by enabling bad behavior or also enabling bad behavior and doing the same things. You don't get away with that without consequences. And as a matter of fact, those consequences are growing. And so what they want to do is they want to apply what they call ointments or fixes towards the symptoms of the problem. They want the problem to persist. They're just trying to continually convince people that the only way we can really solve our problems is by giving government greater control and surrendering our liberties. These are old plays that have been done in several societies of recent history and of ancient history. It's the same play. So the fact is, nobody is really wanting to talk about the real solutions. And the real solution is getting government out of the many things it has no business doing that our Constitution and our framers protected us from them doing. That is why it is so important for us to understand how the Constitution was laid down, how it was defined, so that we can understand what needs to be done. That's why over the past week, 2 weeks, we have been going through citations out of the ratification debates. This is where Madison, this is where Hancock and Adams and Wilson and Iredell and Johnson, many good men were defining precisely what the Constitution was, its limitations, what the federal government could do, what it couldn't do. And I'm here to tell you that by understanding and by reading these founding documents, it helps us see and understand how perverted our government has gotten away from the founding principles and definitions that were established in the founding of this hybrid constitutional republic. And it's a hybrid because we didn't create a federal government with full general powers. We created a confederacy with very limited powers and created a federal government with specific and enumerated powers where all powers were retained by the confederacy. Those powers not delegated were contained or retained by the confederacy. So, It is so important. It's just like, as I say before, it's just like reading your scriptures to understand the differences of false doctrines and shenanigans that leaders in religion will try to play as they try to pervert and teach doctrines of man instead of doctrines of Christ or the doctrines of the fundamental religion. Because once you start understanding the fundamental religion, once you understand the tenets and the principles that are being taught, such as if you have a religion that believes it needs to be the dominant religion and all other non-believers of their religion should be killed, then you can start understanding the perverseness of the base of the religion or the base perverseness, or you can start understanding how theologians, how leaders of those religions have digressed away from the fundamental principles. And it's the same thing with our government, how far they have transitioned our paradigms to believing everything they're doing is legitimate. And that is our biggest danger. And that's why we go through these ratification debates, because once we understand that what they're doing is illegitimate, we can quickly and efficiently take it back through a process that Madison and Jefferson, and actually Jefferson was the original thinker on this concept of having the stakeholders step in. And in this case, it wasn't the people who were the stakeholders, it's the people at the state level, but it is the representatives of those people at the states. It is the state legislatures, and we're going to get into a comment by Grayson as he talks about sovereigns and as he defines what a sovereign is, so you can understand that our state legislatures truly are sovereigns, and they are sovereign over all things that are not formally delegated to the general government or to the federal government via the Constitution. So with that, let me just tell you that we still have the listen line number out there. The primary listen line number is 605-562-4209. There is also a secondary number, and it seems like that secondary number is being transitioned out. So maybe they've beefed up the throughput and bandwidth on the primary. But I would still like, beg, and ask you to dial the number 605-562-4209 if you cannot stream the entire show. Once you have to step away, dial up, put that earbud in so that you can continue to hear these important, these paramount citations to help you understand just how limited the federal government is. Because you are listening to the only show that is going to expose you to the facts and help you realize that there is only one thing that we can do if we're going to save ourselves from tyranny, from federal tyranny more specifically. That is this show that talks about Republic Review and the entire process of getting the federal government into compliance. The states have the authority. They have the inherent power. All we've got to do is wake them up to do it. And that's where we need your help. Don't forget, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. We should be wrapping up the Virginia ratification debates today. I've just got a couple of comments from Madison, and these are pretty beefy comments, so we'll go through these. And then we have a comment from Grayson that, again, like I told you, he talks about sovereignties and so forth. So we, like I said, we should be wrapping up the Virginia ratification debates today, and then tomorrow we will be going through the New York ratification debates and going through those details and or lack of details from some of the Federalists, because there's a lot of work weeding through the New York ratification debates. Hamilton was definitely duplicit in what he was trying to do. He was trying to buy time, which is why he went into some of the nonsensical rants that he did, just to kind of befuddle and try to misdirect and deflect some of the arguments so that people would finally get the word, oh, Virginia has ratified the Constitution. Now New York must do their job in ratifying the Constitution as well, because there's just no way New York was going to allow itself to be outside of the Union and not have the benefits and blessings that the other 10 states by that point in time, and rapidly becoming 11 states later on, a year later. So anyway, we will get into those debates as well. But before we do, there are ways you can support this show. We have a sponsor doing Red State Coffee. You can get grinds and or whole beans. And if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will be able to order yourself a pack, a pound, or what have you, of these Red State Coffee beans. I would invite you to try these. These are premium beans. This is just like what you would think is, you know, a premium coffee that you would buy at your local grocer. These are fresh beans, and the grinds are ground right when you order them. They're not something that was ground a month, 2 months, 3 months ago, and, you know, migrating its way to the grocery shelf. You cannot get a fresher grind unless you buy the beans yourself and grind them right before you brew your coffee. So if you want to support this show, please support our sponsor, Red State Coffee, who is supporting this show. And with that, we will have a few other things we want to talk about as far as how you can get involved. Because it is time, my friends, to wake up. It is time to start taking action. If you think it is going to get better, you are sadly mistaken. It only gets better if we do something about it. So we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so let me finish my little pitch on the Red State Coffee. We appreciate those who have actually purchased Red State Coffee. What we would love to do is have you call 425-270-5416 and complain, give us your compliments. What do you think of the product? Make it short, make it sweet. Try to be as pithy as possible. We'd like to actually put your feedback into our commercials so that people can hear from you, the consumer, instead of just hearing it from me. There is no doubt in my mind, as I've talked to other people that have drank the coffee locally, that this is top-notch premium coffee. So please, if you want to support us and you do consume coffee, you can't consume a product and support a better cause. We're talking about your liberties. We are talking about preserving liberty for your posterity. If that means anything to you, then by all means, get yourself some Red State Coffee. With that, I would also let you know that we do have our crowdfunding campaign on GoFundMe, which is reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can get to that by just searching on GoFundMe for Reclaiming the Republic, or you can also go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and click on the link right there on the homepage. That will take you to both buying the Red State Coffee as well as the GoFundMe campaign. We do need your support. If you are getting fed up with the continuing debasement of our society, the continuing chipping away at our liberties, and how this progressive media machine is becoming so successful in shaping the direction of our country, it's time to get engaged, my friends. It is time to actually make the commitment and actually get involved. Now, there are ways to get involved, and I would highly recommend you go to theconstitutionclub.ning.com. By going there, you will be able to drill into your state and your county and find out who else is involved. The primary way that you can get involved in working with us is sending us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We'd be honored to have you on the team, and we would be happy to help you get engaged to the level you're comfortable and capable of. We just need to know a little bit about what you can do, what you want to do, and we can take it from there. Now, one other thing I want to get into is just the whole news cycle. As we are kind of going through the doldrums and these incredibly dynamic news issues coming up from Dayton and El Paso, or I should say, I think it was El Paso, the last shooting. These things are not going to stop. These things are going to continue. If you want to really make a change in why these things are occurring, you have to get involved. You can no longer let the progressives have the monopoly on the narrative to say we need gun control. Even Trump is looking at red flag laws. Everybody is looking at reacting. You better start reacting to their reactions. You better start standing up. Because if you do not stand up to this insanity of taking liberties away for a problem that is a direct result of the progressive agenda, the progressive paradigm, if we do not do something about it, we will lose our liberties. It's really straightforward. It's really that simple. So with that, let me take a dive into what Madison was going to say. And this is regarding the Virginia ratification debates. And this, I believe, was around the time where they were getting into the heated debates over the militia. Now, you got to remember that enforcement of constitutional laws, laws that were constitutionally passed by the federal government, were to only be enforced by the state militias. And so this is what Madison says. He says, "But the honorable member sees great danger in the provisions concerning the militia. This I conceive to be an additional security to our liberty without diminishing the power of the states in any considerable degree." See, there was so much concern about being able to maintain state sovereignty and state power. It appears to me so highly expedient that I should imagine it would have found advocates even in the warmest friends of the present system. In other words, those who were opposing the new system of the hybrid constitutional republic that they were trying to promote. He was saying that even the opponents of this new system and the warmest of friends of that old system, they would be embracing this whole concept. The authority of the training the militia and appointing the officers is reserved to the states. Congress ought to have the power to establish uniform discipline throughout the states and to provide for the execution of the laws, suppress insurrections and invasions. So this is what I just said. I said that the militia is supposed to be the ones that enforce federal laws and legitimate federal statutes, laws, and so forth. So my point is that the ATF, the IRS, the BLM, the Park Services, the EPA, all of these federal enforcement agencies are illegitimate and unconstitutional. The militia has the responsibility of enforcing laws. Now, just keep in mind that as we moved towards this growth or what have you, the reason they did not want the militia to be involved was they wanted to be able to take a guy or a gal out of New Jersey and put them in Arizona so that they feel no ties, so that they have no known associations with these folks in this state, so that they will not question the laws that they have to enforce and rain down upon them. There's brilliance in the concept of the progressives in trying to do everything they can to move away from these concepts or these applications of the militia enforcing federal law. The reason that they wanted these bureaucrats from all around so that they could be disassociated with you, your community, your families, and so forth. They have nothing to do with Arizona, so they have everything to do with doing their job and doing what they're told. If you are a militia man or a militia woman in a state and all of a sudden you're being told that you have to do something and you actually question the legitimacy of this, then you become a check on the system. Our system was filled with so many checks, and the militia was one of the brilliant checks that they placed on federal tyranny. So moving on, it's not just about enforcement or execution of laws, but the militia is supposed to suppress insurrections. Which, what's an insurrection or rebellion? Well, an insurrection or rebellion are people that are protesting the government's legitimate laws and the legitimate things that they are doing. Now, if you have a problem and you want to, you know, protest, your place of protest is in the seat of government. If it's in the city, then it is city hall. If it is the county, then it is the county hall. And if it is the state, then it is in the state capital, which, you know, depending on what state you live in, you go down to your capital and that's where you get your grievances addressed. You identify that these are illegitimate, these are problems, we question these things and demand that they satisfy. You have a First Amendment right to have your grievances addressed. And the government is supposed to address your grievances. You do not have a right to go out on the streets and protest. Those were illegitimate protests. That is why we were supposed to go down and shut City Hall down. The reason City Hall politicians and the progressives have promoted this concept of protesting in the streets is so they don't have to deal with you, so that they don't have to deal with these rabid Antifas and these other professional protesters, because that's what we have today, my friends. we have professional protesters that are out doing the work of the far left. Now, before I run out and repel invasions, these invasions from Mexico, these are the only cases wherein they can interfere with the militia. Madison goes on and says, and the obvious necessity of having power over them in these cases must convince any reflecting mind. Without uniformity of discipline, military bodies would be incapable of action. Without a general controlling power to call forth the strength of the Union to repel invasions, and the country might be overrun and conquered by foreign enemies, as we're witnessing in the South. Without such power to suppress insurrections, and liberty, our liberties might be destroyed by domestic factions, and domestic tyranny be established. So we will be back and conclude what Madison has to say in this one citation segment. But I'm telling you, they understood exactly what they needed, and they gave it to us. And these, well, we'll finish this when we come right back.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, health care, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And if you want to support this show, buy Red State Coffee. Go to our homepage, where you can actually go straight to the purchasing of Red State Coffee on eBay. Free shipping. Check it out. Give us a call, 425-270-5416. We're very interested in what you think of this product. We would love to have your endorsements, but we want your honest feedback regarding the quality of this product, okay? Now, back to what Madison was talking about. This, again, is talking about the important role that the militia had in enforcing the constitutional laws of the land. So with that, and I wanted to also say this, that our focus today, again, is on the Virginia ratification debates. That way we can understand precisely what the federal government was defined to the states, to the stakeholders, so that as we understand what they can do and what they're not supposed to do, then it helps us understand how far our principles and our government has been perverted by the designs of, I'll just say it, nefarious men and women who have sought to assume and usurp the power of the states and of the people. So this is what Madison says. He says, "But, sir, on whom does this general government depend? It derives its authority from these governments, the state governments, and from the same sources from which their authority is derived, which is the people. The members of the federal government are taken from the same men from which those of the state legislatures are taken. If we consider the mode in which the federal representatives will be chosen, we will be conceived that the general government or the federal government will never destroy the individual governments." Excuse me. "And this conviction must be strengthened by an attention to the construction of the Senate. The representatives will be chosen probably under the influence of the members of the state legislatures, but there is not the least probability that the election of the latter, the state legislators, will be influenced by the former, the senators. 160 members represents this commonwealth in one branch of the legislature and are drawn from the people at large and must ever possess more influence than the few men will be elected to the general legislature. Those who wish to become federal representatives must depend on their credit with that class of men who will be the most popular in their counties." Now, I want to emphasize this. Why? Because the state Senate and the legislatures, all of them were limited by what? The counties. In other words, your state is divided up in counties. This is the fundamental concept of republicanism. Counties have diverse and separate interests from one another. Look at the population center of your state. It may be right there on the water where there's a major port and so forth. You may live in a county, or there may be many other counties that are far less populated that, you know, are in the mountain areas where there's logging or there's mining, or in the valley areas where there's farming, far less populated, but equal to the other counties in most aspects except for the apportionment of the people. In other words, the counties are just like states. They should be recognized as separate sovereign entities within the state amongst the different counties, so that one county doesn't become more represented than the other counties, to ensure a balance and a check upon the more populated. It is everly abundant. It is more clear than ever before as we go through the founding documents that our system was designed to protect the minority, to protect these small counties that don't have nearly the same amount of population. Now, of course, the rancor and concept is, oh yeah, those heavily populated counties, they deserve more representation and they deserve a greater voice in government. No. They deserve equal representation as the other counties, because their interests cannot outweigh the needs of the other counties. Because what would happen, and what has been happening, is that these more populated counties are drawing upon the resources to serve themselves. There were many people in the state of Washington in these non-populated counties that were taxed heavily in subsidizing the mass transit systems in the populated counties. That's how they steal the representation and they steal the wealth of these other counties. In understanding American republicanism, Republicanism is not about a personal representation or representation for the people. It was first divided by the sub-element of government, the county. So each county is guaranteed representation in each body. Today, most states, and California is atrocious because there are 10 counties that share their one representative. That's repugnant to the American republicanism because each county deserves equal representation, or at least a minimum of representation, so that they and their voice can be represented. How can 10 counties be represented by one person? There's no way. The county that that person comes from is going to have greater favor than anybody else or any of the other counties. This was a brilliant concept, and here it jumps out of what Madison just said. So let me repeat this. Those who wish to become federal representatives must depend on the credit with that class of men who will be the most popular in their counties. Why is he saying this? Because these are the men that are the most popular are those who were selected to represent the people and or the county. What that means is the people, representing the people of the county, if you have a very small population county, you would have a minimum of one representative or two representatives in the House of Representatives representing that county's interest. And then the Senate would have an appointment from the county commissioners, county supervisors, or whatever the county is, the county government that is running that county. They would be selecting their senators to make sure that their interests for the county are being represented, because they have severed representation and divided powers between those of the Senate and those of the representatives of the people. The county is to provide a check on the other counties. And so that is done in the Senate. And the county is to put a check on the other counties in regards to apportionment and representation or representation of the people, in ensuring that the people are protected from being overly taxed and so forth. So this was complete brilliance, and this is American republicanism. When they talk about each state guaranteed to be Republican in form, we are supposed to be protecting the minorities, which are these small populated counties, in ensuring that they maintain their representation in government. And this has been completely lost. The best solution to this, and I'm going on this tirade because this is critical. This is important because the guarantee clause of the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, has been violated for well over a century and a half. The concept was completely lost because most people didn't understand that counties are sub-elements of the state. Just like states are sub-elements of the republic or the nation. And so what has to happen is that we have to start focusing back and getting our counties the sovereignty and the power that they're supposed to have per the Constitution, even though the state constitutions have never delineated this. They're violating the U.S. Constitution. The best way to do this is if we get a run in Congress to where we have a Republican representation in Congress. We have to strike while the iron is hot, because I'm telling you, we would be lucky to have a Republican representation in Congress, a full representation of holding both houses coming up in 2020. If we can do this, we need to demand that the states, and the way to do this is for every state that has a population center like Indiana, like Illinois with Chicago, like Detroit with Michigan, like Nevada and Las Vegas, Seattle and Washington, Portland. There are several states that have population centers that are destroying these states because the majority is running rickshaw over the remainder of the state. And so this is where these states need to demand a constitutional, the counties, the red counties need to demand a constitutional convention to put the rest of their representation back into the proper context and framework. We're at a break. We will be right back, and I will finish this comment or this paragraph from Madison when we come back. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so this is what Madison is saying, and I'm going to read through the whole thing again. Those who wish to become federal representatives must depend on their credit with that class of men who will be the most popular in their counties. He didn't say in their state. He said in their counties, because states were divided by counties and counties were guaranteed representation, just like states in the national government. And then he goes on and says, who generally represent the people in the state governments. They can, therefore, never succeed in any measure contrary to the wishes of those on whom they depend. It is almost certain, therefore, that the deliberations of the members of the Federal House of Representatives will be directed to the interest of the people of America as to the other branch. The senators will be appointed by the legislatures, and though elected for 6 years, I do not conceive they will soon forget the source from whence they derive their political existence. So the fact that we got rid of the appointment of senators is a complete abomination to the concept of the controls the states were supposed to have over the Senate. Madison also says this, I appeal to our past experience whether they will attend the interest of their constituent states. Have not those gentlemen who have been honored with seats in Congress often signalized themselves by the attachment of their seats? I wish this government may answer the expectation of its friends and foil the apprehension of its enemies. I hope the patriotism of the people will continue and be a sufficient guard in their liberties. I believe its tendency will be that the state governments will counteract the general interest and ultimately prevail. And he's talking about, you know, just in the regular political machine, but when all of a sudden the federal government reached outside its boundaries and violated the Constitution in 1798, Madison not only did they talk about the political machine, but they talked about the actual force of the states regarding the politics of our American Republic. And he goes on and says this: "The number of the representatives is yet sufficient for our safety and will gradually increase, and if we consider their different sources of information, the number will not appear too small. But the new system, a majority of the states cannot introduce amendments, nor all of the states required for that purpose, three-fourths of them must concur in alterations. In this, there is a departure from the federal idea. The members of the National House of Representatives are to be chosen by the people at large in their counties in proportion to the numbers of the representatives of the districts. When we come to the Senate, its members are elected by the states in their equal and political capacity. But the government, the people have been completely consolidated, or let me rephrase this, but had the government been completely consolidated, the Senate would have been chosen by the people in their individual capacity, in the same manner as the members of the House. Thus, it is of a complicated nature, and this complication, I trust, will be found to exclude the evils of absolute consolidation as well as the mere confederacy." I want to point out here that the fact that we have the 17th Amendment and that the people are the ones that are choosing representation for both seats, this is what he's warning against, because he says that the governments are not completely consolidated, that it's not consolidated in a representative of the people, that they've created this division of representatives of the people and representatives of the state. Just like in the state governments, representatives of the people in the county and the people of the county are the leaders of the county by appointing their senators. If you understand, he also says this, that it would be excluding, by going down this path, they would exclude the absolute evil of consolidated government as well as the mere confederacy. Madison goes on and says, "If Virginia was separated from all the states, her power and authority would extend to all cases. In like manner, were all powers vested in the general government." In other words, if they had a general constitution that gave them all powers instead of the enumerated constitution, it would be a consolidated government. But the powers of the federal government are enumerated. It can only operate in certain cases, and it has legislative powers on defined and limited objects, beyond which it cannot extend its jurisdiction. So that is one of the two factors of how we do not have a consolidated government. One, it is not a general constitution giving them general powers of all things. And two, that we have a split in sovereignty in Congress, to where the people are represented in the House and the states, and the states' interests are represented in the Senate. That's how it is supposed to be. But by the 17th Amendment, it has completely perverted this concept. Now, this last and final comment from Mr. Grayson is so important, because I want you to understand who our sovereigns are. Our sovereigns are not the presidents or the governors. The presidents and governors, their sole responsibilities is to ensure the execution of the laws our sovereigns pass. Our sovereigns are our state legislatures. We do not have a monarchy. We do not have kings. Our presidents and governors are strictly limited to enforcing the laws of the land as our representatives decide to make them. Now, you got to also understand that the the limitations placed on our sovereigns are within our constitutions because our constitutions constrain them from being able to do things that they cannot do. And so as you understand that, then you can understand the importance of understanding the Constitution and those limitations. And so this is what Mr. Grayson says. I suppose the general government, as being paramount, as being the utmost of importance, would prevail, and he's talking about would prevail in any of the conflicts, you know, disputes between state governments and the federal government. But he goes on and says this, how are two legislatures to coincide with powers transcendent, supreme, and omnipotent? I want you to understand what he just said. He's talking about the state or the federal legislatures, and he's going, how can two legislatures coincide with powers transcendent, supreme, and omnipotent? Those are the terms of our legislatures. If you understand what each legislature does between the Senate and the House of Representatives, they are two separate bodies, and yet they both coincide or they both exist in the same, you know, space of government, but the powers of each are supreme and omnipotent. Force. And so what he's basically pointing out is, how can you have two sovereigns? You know, they become a conflict in just the concept of being sovereign. For such is the definition of a legislature. That's what he's going on with Grayson here, what he's saying. For such is the definition of a legislature, that they are supreme and omnipotent. There must be an external interference, not only in the collection of taxes, but in the judiciary. Was there ever such a thing in the country before? Great Britain never went so far in the Stamp Act, Poynings Law, and appearance of the Irish, never went so far. I never heard of two supreme coordinate powers in one and the same country before. I cannot conceive how it can happen. It surpasses everything that I have read of concerning other governments, or that I can conceive by the utmost exertion of my faculties. My friends, the concept of American republicanism and dividing the powers between the Senate, because Madison basically comes back and goes, look, you stupid, you know, the Senate has specific powers delegated to it in the Constitution, and the House of Representatives has specific powers. They do not overlap. They have a separation of powers and they place checks on each system, because if they are to pass a law, then the people have a check on the Senate and the Senate has a check on the people, or I should say the states. So the representation, actually, even within our legislatures, they created an additional check and a separation of powers in our supreme legislatures. And to me, my friends, that was the divine hand of providence, and the greatest one of the greatest perversions that has occurred has been the 17th Amendment. This is why I can easily go down the rant of why we need to repeal the 17th Amendment by rescinding it, not truly repealing it, in the process of an amendment. And so with that, my friends, we have wrapped up the Virginia ratification debates. I should get into rescinding the 17th Amendment as well as American republicanism in more detail, but we'll move on from there. I am G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.